He's a former, you know, he probably says that he's a defensive end, but if he played nowadays, he'd probably be a rush outside linebacker in this 3-4 defense. He's a sack master. He's from Wisconsin. Jim Herman, former BYU great, on with us here at Cougar Sports. How you doing, Jim?
I like it, brother. I like it. I'm well. Good to see you, and I like that you had the little Wisconsin
thing going on, brother.
Wisconsin. You're on the bandwagon, I hope. You better have been cheering for my Buckeyes back there, because doggone it, they were playing against five plus the three officials, which made it really hard to win a game, so it was tough. I know I'm one of those guys. I'm one of those guys, man.
No, but the same thing happened in the Final Four matchup. I mean, they were trying to give it away. They were trying to keep Wisconsin out of that. I mean, the refs, look, there's a reason why I like football more so than basketball, because football cannot be as easily manipulated as basketball. The tempo of basketball, the free throws that occur in the late in the game, I abhor it. So I'm right there with you, Jim. There was two blatantly obvious calls that they missed, and it was unfortunate.
Yeah, not only that, the unbiased announcing was just really awesome. Gosh dang it. Again, I'm viewing it from the eyes of a Badger fan, so I apologize, but it was interesting. I mean, hey, Kentucky, Duke, great programs, phenomenal. I get it. Coach K, they're all good stories, and it just felt like everyone was pulling against them. But, yeah, I was proud of them. You know, I think not many people stay for 4 years anymore, and to see Frank the Tank and some of those other guys, seniors, stick around to try and do it was really cool. And they're a bunch of homegrown products back from my home state, so I was cheering hard for those guys. Bummed they lost.
Tell you what, I love me some Kaminsky. I love his story. He came in, you know, freshman, didn't do much. Sophomore, you know, did a little bit more. Junior year comes on, and he is hot. I mean, but, you know, he was not a highly recruited guy, you know, maybe 2-3-star kid, but developed into the star that he is today, and he's going to make himself some money at the next level.
Yeah, it was really impressive. I mean, the guy does for, yeah, I don't know. You know, we can get, there's so many different angles we could talk about, but I mean, truly an amazing athlete. I mean, to control 7 feet like the way he does is really kind of an amazing thing. Just one, to control his body the way he does, but also to dribble the ball, pass. I mean, the guy was hitting threes and then dishing to guys in the corner for other threes. And that kind of little drop step turnaround up and under thing he's got, where he covers about from the free throw lane to the bucket, is kind of amazing. So, yeah. He's really turned into an amazing, to make the national sweep on all the big-time awards with the players that are out there, it was pretty impressive.
Jim, were you a basketball player growing up in high school?
I was. I was the four-sport guy, believe it or not. We, where Wisconsin is, we have very late spring summers. So you can actually do football, basketball, and then you squeeze in track. And then baseball you can actually do, because we actually, our baseball season went all the way through July. We had played like a 30-game schedule, and you may have had a little tiny overlap between track and baseball, depending how far you went in track. But, yeah, man, I played them all. So it was kind of weird. It's just what you did. You went from one to the next to the next to the next, and I was kind of a big, tall, and fairly athletic guy, and I could do a lot of different things. I don't know if I did anything great, but I did everything pretty well. And, yeah, so it was fun to participate, fun to be a part of all that, and I think – one helped the other. I high jumped 6.5. I long jumped almost 23 feet. I ran the 300 hurdles. I threw the gas in baseball. I was a pitcher, and then I couldn't throw much of anything other than throw really fast, but that seemed to work. I couldn't, you know, really throw much of a curve or much of a slider. And then I hit the ball pretty well, and basketball, I was kind of the four spot. Played in the post a little bit, and then football, yeah, I played a little bit of a diff of everything, so it was really good. It was really good, and I think it helped me just become a better athlete. So, yep, liked it, but didn't love the basketball, but I liked it.
Well, I think you like to bang down low, maybe dunk on a kid or two. I mean, that's always fun, right?
It's always fun. I've never been accused of not being competitive and or aggressive. So, yeah, basketball was a continuation of football to a certain extent, and It was cool, and we had a really good coach and a great program. I was lucky to go to the high school I went to, and we were competitive in pretty much everything. So it made participating fun, and like I said, I just think it made me better at everything, you know. And I think it's too bad today kids don't get that opportunity. And what's really weird, I just saw, gosh, I wish I could remember where, but I read a soundbite somewhere. It was either a professional scout or a general manager or professional coach. I want to say it might be Pete Carroll or someone.
It might have been
actually,
Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer will only, think, recruit multi-sport athletes.
Yeah, was that it? Yeah. And I think he did some graft. I think you're right. I think it was Urban that said the guys that are successful at the collegiate level and that actually go on to participate at the professional level, one thing they have in common is they were all multi-sport guys, or not all of them, but there was a higher percentage of multi-sport guys that fit into that category.
Yeah, different functional movements, different. I mean, it just makes you overall just a better athlete, better competitor when it comes to your specific.
Hopefully that swings the pendulum back. You know, I mean, I think it's swung one way, and hopefully it gets people thinking. I do think baseball.
Well, we all know that this, where it's coming from, Jim, it's coming from parents thinking that they have to specialize their kid in their sport. I don't know necessarily that the kid only wants to play one sport. It's just that we like to dream about the Tiger Woods stories, right?
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to have them just doing this thing all the time, and they're going to be elite, and they're going to make my pension plan, my retirement fund, a whole lot bigger.
I think you're right. I think, you know, there's a dual-headed monster there a little bit. I do think, especially at the younger level, coaches get a little anal's not the right word. That's not a very pleasant word, but let's think of it this for one.
Just overly focused, passionate.
Overly focused. Yeah. And they think, oh my gosh, my kid, where is he? He's at a football camp, and we've got the 30th, you know, baseball tournament of the season, and oh my gosh, he's going to miss it, and it's going to hurt my ranking in the neighborhood as being, you know, the really successful coach. And so, yeah, I mean, there's kind of a little few different things that factor in, that's for sure.
Jim Herman, former defensive great from Brigham Young University, on with us here, Cougar Sports ESPN 960. Jim, you were at the alumni event this past week. Did you take part in the Q&A? Were you in the room with Bronco the rest of the game?
Yeah, I was.
Tell me what you thought of the Q&A, the questions that were posed to Bronco.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you, man. It was I walked out of there probably more fired up than I've been, and I was super impressed with Bronco. I know Bronco has his critics, as you know, everyone does, that's in that position. And, you know, I think Bronco maybe hasn't always been his best ally, just to himself. He, you know, we're not all the, not everyone's, you know, Ben Crittle can get on radio and talk and be affable and jovial and self-deprecating and all those things. But he did a really good job, I thought, of all of that. I think he got up and he had humor. He was direct. He was informative. He didn't shy away from anything. I think he addressed all the quote-unquote, you know, hard issues or hot issues or things that people have been talking about in the press and above. And I thought it was really good. I mean, I walked out of there thinking, man, if he could, expose that side of himself to everyone, you know, I think people would see a different side and have a different feeling. And I think things might improve is the wrong word, whatever. They might just get better.
Well, perception. Perception
exactly.
Would improve.
Yeah, and I thought he did a phenomenal job. I really did. I thought he was great. I thought, like I said, he was entertaining. He was informative. He was direct. He was critical of things that we haven't done right as a program, and he was proud of the things that we have done right as a program. And I do think he points out, you know, a lot of things that people forget, and I tell a lot of BYU fans the same things I see at the gym. I mean, what our demographic of our team is like no other team in the country. That's not an excuse. That's not anything other than it is what it is. And for that demographic to compete at the level they do, I truly think is astonishing. And people lose sight of that. They remember the 80s. They remember the 90s, and times have changed, bigger, faster, stronger, more focused, things we just talked about in Little League. All those things have trickled down to make being competitive at the highest level even harder. And for BYU, like I said, I mean, I went to a UMass game, and the basketball game, and I sat in the second row. A friend got me some good tickets, and I looked at the makeup of the UMass team, both athletically and every other way, and I looked at the makeup of the BYU team, and on its face, you're thinking, okay, one of these teams is not like the other, and one of these teams appears to have a significant advantage. They grew up in the inner city. They've played basketball since they were two. They've done all these things, and you got a bunch of other goofy guys from you know, Hurricane and wherever else composing our team, and you're thinking there's no way. And, well, what do? They not only compete, but they beat them. And that doesn't happen. It's not going to happen every week. But for that to happen 5 out of the last 6 times BYU's played Texas, or 4 out of the last 5 or whatever it is, where Texas has 90 four-star recruits and BYU has 2, and for BYU to go down there and not only compete but beat them, and I get it's not the Texas fold, but it still has the money of Texas and the tradition of Texas and the recruiting of Texas and that caliber athlete of Texas. And I think it's super impressive that BYU does what it does. And some of those things were pointed out, and, you know, there were some very poignant questions about ex-players, you know, offspring, where they're going. And why, and he was, you know, it was good to look the horse in the mouth, or whatever expression you want to use, and have him look everyone else in the eye and say, hey, look, I sleep really well at night to know that we put our best foot forward and we gave the best effort we could in recruiting those people. And you may hear stories through the grapevine, or your neighbor may know someone who says, oh, BYU didn't recruit this guy, or BYU was late to that guy. He said, but I'll tell you right now, I got my assistant coaches behind me, and I'm here to tell you, we recruited every one of those kids really hard. We gave it the best pitch we could, and they chose to go somewhere else. So I thought that was probably the most poignant, direct question of, you know, geez, hey, what's going on? Why can't we land these guys? What the heck, you guys sleeping at the wheel? And what's going on? I thought he stepped up and answered it. It was real direct.
Jim, you were talking about how, you know, BYU has that how in the world do these guys compete at this level sort of thing going on. I think some of it has to be part of it that motivates the kids to play together and to keep together. And I think if you're to look at this year's schedule coming up, they're going to have to utilize every single thing they can utilize in order to get through that schedule and be where they want to be. How do you see this going forward this next year with the kind of schedule they have and the kind of people they have coming back? What's your viewpoint on BYU's 2015 season?
I think good heavens, look at that schedule. And, what you just said is spot on. And we're going to have everything not only go our way and people stay healthy, but muster every bit of, you know, team power and personal commitment and all those types of things to compete. But you know what? I truly believe we can. I have no delusions of grandeur. I'm not saying anyone's going to run the table or have these, you know, great national rankings come our way. But do I think we're going to go compete every week? Absolutely. And hopefully, we don't lay an egg along the way. Nothing against Utah State. Phenomenal program. They've elevated that thing. But good heavens, you know, I mean, that is a, you know, Ben, I mean, a lot of football, the beauty about football to a certain extent is wanting it more than the other guy. And you can't do that in every sport. You can't step up to the line in a 200 meter in a big track event and just say, I want to run faster than the next guy. So I'm going to do it. But in football, some of that still holds true, you know, effort and perseverance and just flat out determination sometimes can be the thing that pushes things your way. And, at Utah State, I didn't feel like we wanted it. You know, there's some other games. I felt like we were flat. That is coaching. That's also, you know, the makeup and chemistry of your team. But I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that it's an exciting, fun year, that we compete with national programs, that we win our share, and that, you know, we don't embarrass ourselves. If anything, we kind of hopefully hold up the tradition of our program that we're all proud of, and then we go out and do what we need to do. But it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. But, again, you know, I mean, I think people saw it in Utah the last couple of years. I mean, 5-7, I don't know if they were as bad as 5-7. 9-4, I don't know if they're as good as 9-4, but they're competing every week, and they got, you know, they got their handful of games that could have gone their way in the 5-7 years, and they got the handful of games that could have gone the other way in the 9-4 year. And I think there's a lot more parity in college football. I do think the strong programs still get the elite of the elite. That was apparent on signing day, but I challenge all my friends that are Utah fans and BYU fans to name the BYU greats, name the Utah greats, and by far the vast majority of the Utah greats that you can name and or the BYU greats you can name were walk-ons or were low-level recruits. They were not the big-time name guys that everyone points to. Most of the big-time name guys is burnt out or flashed in the pan or never even flashed. And, you know, the Morgan Scallies, the Alex Smiths, the Eric Weddles, all of those guys, none of those guys wanted those guys out of high school. They were nothing. And Steve Young and Gordon Hudson and Jim McMahon and John Beck had a couple suitors. But, I mean, it wasn't like people were pounding down their doors. And a lot of the time, that's what it takes. It's that chip you walk around on your shoulder with. And you want to point out that everyone else is wrong and that you're there to play hard and be a player. And I think same thing in the Pro Bowl this year, that I don't know what it was, 80% of them were below three-star recruits or something in college, and 35% of them were walk-ons, and whatever.
It's the average was very low. It was below three-star. They were two- and three-star recruits in the NFL. That's what they were. And,
Not only in the NFL, but in the Super Bowl.
And, you know, it reminds me of a quote that Lavelle, that I've heard from Lavelle, it's not the will to win that matters, it's the will to prepare. And I think champions and championship teams are made in the off season, not during the season. It's what you're doing in the off season. And so we hope that this team this year can have a magical season, right? You know, and you said, you know, we don't want to be embarrassed with this season. They want to hold up versus the elite of this of the NCAA football, right? That's all we want. We want them to be competitive. We'd like them to win some games, all of them, yes, but we just want to be competitive. As alumni, I think that's how we feel. As a band of brothers, like, hey, let's just not embarrass our program. I think with Taysom Hill coming back, hopefully if he stays healthy, it can be a magical season. Jim, we got to let you go. But
appreciate it, man. Thanks for calling me.